Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, and prepare our hearts to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 34, verses 15 through 22. Listen now for the word of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Our second scripture reading comes from John chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. Many of his disciples heard it, and they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are those who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. This passage is coming towards the end, near the end of Ephesians. Paul has gone through and spent time kind of telling this church in Ephesus how to order their church life, how to order their home life, and now he is shifting and he is kind of wrapping things up. This passage may sound familiar to some of us who back in the early 90s may have read a book called This Present Darkness. Anyone ever, that ring a bell with anybody? Oh good, you were not tormented. It was one of those, it was the kind of the popular series before the Left Behind series. And it was very traumatic because people took the spiritual warfare they were talking about, and it was pure fiction and terrible theology. But, you know, people read those books like they were gospel. It talks about the whole armor of God. And sometimes we see pictures depicted of what it is to be a Christian wearing the whole armor of God. And it looks mean. But we're going to look at this passage today and examine what it is to really put on the whole armor of God. So I invite you to hear these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, back whenever I was a little girl, Sunday morning rolled around, I already knew what I was going to wear, because on Saturday night we were supposed to go to our closets and pick out the outfit we were going to wear, make sure it was clean and pressed and all of that sort of thing. I could not wear pants to church. I had to wear a dress, which was, for me as a little tomboy growing up, I was not at all happy about. But, you know, it was one of those things. We put on our Sunday best, as I'm sure many of you grew up doing as well. And whenever I was in Savannah Presbytery in Southeast Georgia, I had the privilege of going around to different churches as I worked for the presbytery. And I worked as an associate pastor half-time in a congregation right on the coast, and then the other half I was with Savannah Presbytery. And it was a bit casual, the church that I served, because it was kind of that coastal feeling, you know. There were several historically African American congregations in our presbytery, and whenever I went to go visit them, I was struck by how formally people dressed when they went to church. They still put on their Sunday best. The ushers in those churches, it was the tradition for them in that area to wear white, and the women had very ornate white hats, and all of the ushers wore gloves. It was a way of setting aside their role of welcome and ushering in the church and what they had to do. Putting on their Sunday best, putting on our Sunday best, is just one of those ways that we mark Sunday as a very special day. We get dressed up. We're setting this aside. This is a special time. This is not like other moments during our week. Now, I don't want anybody dressed casually this morning to feel badly. I am just referring to what some traditions are. Believe me, if I were not being projected, if I were not standing in front of you, I would probably be one of those who came in much more casual clothes. That's who I am. My uniform of choice is sweatpants, shorts, and a t-shirt. That's just who I am. But I set aside this time. It's a way for me to set it aside and think in terms of this as a special time. It's different from other moments in my life. When we get dressed for church, it's not just about what we wear. This passage of Scripture is not about how we get dressed up to come to church. This passage of Scripture tells us how we dress to be the church. This passage of Scripture, speaking about the whole armor of God, tells us about what we put on in order to be the church outside of these walls as well as inside of these walls. If you can imagine what it was like to live in this time of the church in Ephesus, where it was a very prominent Roman city. There was a prominent temple there for worship of some of the Roman gods. Rome, of course, is this empire that conquered many, many peoples, the Western world of that time. They conquered it. It became the empire through military means, through fighting war after war after war. Its army defined it. If we stopped to think about what a Roman soldier looked like today, we could probably imagine it. We would come up with something in our minds. Now, it might be colored with Hollywood paintbrushes, but we get the idea. We can imagine what that was like. And it was an empire based on its army. Keeping the peace was based on its military might. So whenever Paul uses this imagery of putting on armor, people would also have those images in their head. If we think about it today, we read this passage, it's like, okay, sisters and brothers, it is time for us to put on the camo and the Kevlar for Jesus. That sort of thing. We can imagine what it looks like. And so Paul says, if you want to be the church in this world, you're going to have to armor up, because it's not going to be easy. There is evil that exists in this world. There are systems in place that are going to be against you, for one thing, because if we remember, this is the early church. There are some people in our country right now who are worried about the fact that we are no longer going to be the majority religion, or we're losing ground as far as that goes. But there are still tens of millions of us who get together and worship on Sunday morning. And it makes us nervous that we're not as prominent as we used to be. And we think, oh, we're losing ground. We're not going to have the special deference that we once had. Imagine the Christians in Ephesus that, we're worried about losing a few million people in the faith, and they were maybe, 50 of them. So it's like they really were alone. There was a tiny little group of people, and he says, okay, you're going to be going out into this world, and you have to called to live out your faith, and you're the oddballs. You really are the oddballs. And so people are going to react to you. There's going to be anxiety directed at you. There's going to probably be persecution, as he already knows, because Paul's sitting in chains, he says. So, it's like, so put on this whole armor of God, and you can just imagine, okay, what is that going to look like? Ugh. It's not helpful at all. He says the armor of God, when we armor up as Christians, we need to get ready for battle, and we need to be ready to fight the evil that's all around us. And this is just a reminder what he says. He says, fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. The shoes on your feet, put on whatever is going to make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith so that you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and pray. Now, is that helpful at all? Is that really helpful? When you're facing persecution, when you're venturing out into the real world and facing people who are going to be plotting against you, well, Paul seems to think it's helpful. He's saying this is the way that we are to be the church in the world. There is an empire full of soldiers who get what they want through violence, who get what they want through oppression of other people. That is not the way of the gospel. Our armor is that reflects Jesus Christ present in the world. Jesus Christ is the truth. That's right at our center. That's what's holding the whole outfit together. Christ as the truth. The armor is a reflection of the tools of discipleship, of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's evidence of Christ in our lives. And these things that Paul talks about are demonstrations that we have integrated Christ's teachings into our lives, that we are reflecting who Christ is because we're wearing it on the outside. It's truth and righteousness, peace and faith, God's word, salvation. These are what mark us as followers of Christ. And this is what differentiates us from those others who wear an armor of oppression and violence, of an empire of the world. And so he says, if we are to be Christ's disciples in the world, our presence, just like those Roman soldiers' presence and their uniforms communicated Rome's power through military might and weapons, we demonstrate Christ's power and presence in the world by putting on these things, truth and peace, righteousness, faith, prayer, the Spirit leading the way. It's a stark contrast to what people would have perceived to be a way to victory or what a soldier would convey. So now that we know what to put on, we ask, why should we wear these things? We know we have to put on all of the breastplate and the shoes and all of that. And I love, can I just say, that I just think it's absolutely hysterical that Paul says, you know, it's this breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, put on whatever shoe's going to get you to peace. Whatever shoes you want to wear. Boots, sandals, flip-flops, whatever you need to put on, make sure whatever shoes you put on, they're shoes that walk you to peace. Obviously, this was a man who wrote this, or not a fashionable man. Just pick something out of your closet, but it makes sure that it gets you to the destination of peace. These things that we put on, when we ask, why do we have to do this? We now understand that as we live in this world, even though there are millions of Christians all around us, we still experience the things that they experienced in the world then, that there are systems in place that perpetuate all kinds of evil. The racism, the poverty, the systemic things that keep poor people poor and keep building the divide between those who have and those who have not. There are those systems of evil that just perpetuate prejudice of all kinds, that divide people from one another. There are those systems that just keep destroying the world and God's creation instead of being good stewards of it. We see it all around us. We know that there is hatred that just has a life of its own, that there is greed that has a life of its own. We live in this world and we feel absolutely helpless to change it. Paul would say again to us today, put on that whole armor. Because as the Church of Jesus Christ, we understand that as Jesus flips this world upside down and re-established and reordered the values of the church to go against all of those things, we have to be able to withstand the temptation to give in to them. Because they're all around us. You know, we live in a capitalist society that values money and production above all else. And Jesus says, value the relationships with people above all else. We live in a world that wants vengeance, and Jesus says, give mercy. We live in a world that says, I judge you differently than and care for you differently, and I judge you for all of your bad acts. I, of course, have none. And Jesus says, withhold that judgment. Give mercy. So we still face the temptations to fall into that greater society and that greater culture that says, no, value this. We have to withstand it. We have to stand and say, we will not go that way. We will not give in. We will follow the path of peace. We will put righteousness over our hearts. We will wear this helmet that guards our heads, the most vulnerable parts of ourselves, so that we can be blessings to others. We will integrate Christ's teachings into our lives so that we can withstand the systems that are perpetuating the evil in the world. We use the whole armor of God to be able to be living testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can walk those paths in confidence and courage and know that whenever we face the temptation to engage someone and meet their anger with our own, when we want to engage someone and call names and divide ourselves and lead with hate and react in those ways that would draw us right into the systems that perpetuate those things that are contrary to Christ's teachings, that we will have the strength. We will already differentiate ourselves. We will know who we are. And we will be able to say, those things are not going to get into my spirit, my soul, my mind. They will not dictate how I am going to react to you. Instead, Christ's armor will be there so that I will react as his own, as Christ would in the world. I know every generation has the opportunity to stand up and say, if there was ever a time for us to put on the armor of God, it is now. I'm going to say it. If there was ever a time for us to put on the whole armor of God, it is now. Not because we are in some fight, but because the world needs the presence of Christ walking the way of peace through the crowds of violence, of hatred, of division. This is the way that those Christian soldiers march on. Not to win some great battle. God's already, through Christ, won the battle. We instead carry forth the message of that victory, that God is a God of love and care and grace, and there is a way to walk in this world that reflects it. So let us armor up and walk in our shoes, whatever they are, the way of peace and love, faith and righteousness, and carry Christ's presence into the world. Amen.